Okay, I'm about to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. Donald Trump, you'll remember, lost the state of Arizona to Joe Biden in 2020 by about 10,000 votes. In the state of Arizona, there is a separate special voting list for illegal immigrants and non-citizens, i.e. those who can't prove they are American citizens. They get their own special voting roll. There are over 30,000 of them on a special voting roll. Poised to vote. Wait a minute. How much did Trump lose Arizona by? 10,000 last time. And there are how many on the list now? 30,000 plus. Here to help me confront this baffling situation is South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. Okay, Alan Wilson, I'm so confused. I thought it was a felony for illegal immigrants and non-citizens to vote in federal elections, and I thought it was a crime for them to register to vote. How have we gotten here?
Well, you're not confused. You're absolutely right in what you're saying. This is something that I've struggled to understand. The states have a core function of core police function to police their borders from invasion, from illegals, from crime. And the federal government has tried to stop and thwart states at every step of the way. You see that when we try to pass laws, immigration laws at the state level. Now you're seeing it under election laws. States have a core police power in policing and protecting their elections under the Elections Clause of the Constitution. Arizona passed a law saying you must provide proof of citizenship as a condition of being an elector in that state, meaning a voter. It's in their state constitution. They passed it. Of course, Hispanic groups and other groups filed. They got the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to enjoin Arizona's law protecting the integrity of state and federal elections in Arizona, which the U.S. Constitution clearly gives the state of Arizona the right to do.
Yeah.
And, of course, I've joined a 24-state coalition asking the U.S. Supreme Court to enjoin the Ninth Circuit, meaning stop the Ninth Circuit from stopping this law from going to effect, meaning let it go into effect while we argue the merits. One other thing, Tara, on our ballot in November, people listening to me right now, there's going to be a constitutional ballot question. South Carolina does have a constitutional amendment saying that every citizen at the federal and state level can vote in South Carolina's laws. We are changing that to say every citizen to only a citizen of the state and country can vote in South Carolina laws, which would close the potential loophole for illegals and non-citizens voting in municipal elections. So that you're going to have an opportunity to vote on that. If we don't win this case, then they're going to come after, if we pass this constitutional amendment in November, they're going to come after us. And so I'm preemptively supporting Arizona's right to govern how it conducts its elections, because they're going to come and attack South Carolina's constitution next. And that's what we're preparing for.
If I understand this correctly, okay, and it's a lot of the legalese is hard to understand. The federal Ninth Circuit, as we know, is very, very liberal, right? They're almost insane, quite frankly. Arizona passes a law saying you've got to be a citizen of the United States of America, and you got to prove that to register and to vote in the state of Arizona. They pass that law. The Ninth Circuit comes along and says, no, you don't have to do any of that. If you're a non-citizen and you can't prove your citizenship, shoot, you should have the right to vote. Even though if you actually do vote, it's a crime under the federal law. So if I understand correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it really is a hard case to understand. I've been trying to follow the legalese. What is happening is that you're supporting it, and Arizona has, and the RNC and others have filed an emergency, I guess, request to the Supreme Court. Please hear this before the election, or what? The 30,000 illegal immigrants and non-citizens on that special voter roll are going to vote in the presidential election? Do I have that right?
You do.
Okay.
You do.
Okay.
So basically, the Ninth Circuit, a very liberal circuit, by the way, the circuit we live in, despite us being a fairly conservative state, we are in the Fourth Circuit, which is probably as liberal or close to as liberal as the Ninth Circuit.
Wow.
The Fourth Circuit is very liberal. But Arizona passed a law, exactly as you said, saying if you want to vote in our state and federal elections in Arizona, under the Electors Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the right of us to police the integrity of our elections, you have to prove you're a citizen in order to vote. You're right. That law was passed. That law was stopped, in effect, by a ruling by the Ninth Circuit saying that it's violating several federal laws, like the National Voter Registration Act, name one, that it is that we're not going to allow this law to go into effect. Well, we have joined in an amicus brief, 24 states, supporting the RNC and the state of Arizona in saying, no, the law should be allowed to go into effect. So Supreme Court, let it go into effect. Now, people on the other side are going to say there are going to be people who are going to be disenfranchised because they had the inability to prove their citizenship at the time they registered to vote. And this is the same arguments we heard with the voter ID here in South Carolina. You know, this is where the Democratic Party and those on the left said, well, there's some people who don't have the ability to prove that they're a citizen or prove or have a voter registration card. And, you know, again, Tara, what blows my mind is that they don't want the states to police the borders because the federal government refuses to police the borders. They don't want the states to ensure the integrity of the elections from those very same illegals who possibly might be entering the electoral pool because they're not going to police it. So they are trying to stop the states at every turn. And it's really unfathomable. It's just unbelievable to me.
It looks like, to me, illegal immigrants and non-citizens who cannot legally vote in federal elections are this close to getting the vote because this is an emergency stay that you guys are requesting. Then one Supreme Court justice hears it, and it's going to be Elena Kagan. I mean, what are the odds she allows this to be heard by the full court?
Well, we believe that there is a legitimate shot we can get this to the full panel of the Supreme Court.
I hope
but
so.
At the end of the day, we want that. That's why we're asking for an emergency injunction. We just want them to stop it while the merits of the case are debated. Now, here's another thing. There's two other arguments. People say that this barely happens, that this rarely happens, that illegals voting, and they always say you can't point to examples. Well, there was a study in 2008 that 1.2 million illegal aliens voted in that election.
Yeah.
Remember, Senator Al Franken in Minnesota won by about 312 votes in Minnesota. You know, Al Gore was beat by George Bush by 300 and something votes in Florida in the 2000 elections. So what I tell people is, if the possibility of electoral fraud exists, then why would you not put in a safety mechanism? If I told you right now I could put a device in an airplane that you're about to board that would increase the chances that that plane would land safely on the other side, you wouldn't say, yeah, but there's not that many plane crashes, and I feel very comfortable the plane will get there. You would say, no, if it makes it safer, why not? Why take chances? Why not add a mechanism that gives the states the authority to better police the integrity of its elections? Why not? And I can tell you the answer to the why not question, and that's because they don't want that integrity policed.
Well, no, and I mean, I don't even think this is a theoretical risk. These 30,000 illegal immigrants and non-citizens are already registered. They have their own special voter roll in Arizona that Arizona has had to create because of all the court cases. They said, you know, what are we going to do with them? We'll segregate them over here. They have their own voter roll. If I understand this correctly, if the GOP loses this, are they going to go to the polls and vote? Can they? Because they're already registered. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They would have the opportunity because there's not a mechanism in place to prevent that from happening. They would have the opportunity to vote.
But it's illegal.
I said earlier.
I can't understand it. How are these courts ruling they can vote, they can register, when also it's illegal? I'm not picking on you. I'm beside myself.
Well, again, a lot of these judges in these very liberal circuits, they take a federal law and they read into the federal law restrictions on a state's plenary authority to regulate its elections. They also, I'm using their words, okay, or their philosophy. They're erring on the side of not disenfranchising votes. And that's what they would say. But here's the thing. This is what drives me crazy. On the immigration issue and the election issue, the federal government allows lots of illegals to come into the country and then tries to stop the states from sending people back from where they came because you might disenfranchise somebody. You might separate a family. You might have to put a child in a different facility. Well, you're the ones that let them here to begin with. Same thing with the voting. You're the ones that allowed tens of millions of people over the last however many years to come across the border and now you're allowing them to register to vote. You're not allowing us to stop them. And then you're claiming we're going to disenfranchise them after you're the one that let them register to begin with. So it doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, this is a philosophy I've never been able to understand, but nonetheless, we fight it in the courts as hard as we can. And again, South Carolina is going to pass a stricter constitutional provision this November if the voters support it, and that is going to get challenged as well. And that is why I'm supporting what Arizona is doing, because we're going to have to support and defend South Carolina's law as well.
One more question, Alan Wilson. This is an emergency request for the Supreme Court, right? And I think Elena Kagan's just going to turn it down because it's going to hand Arizona the Democrats through illegal immigrant non-citizen voting. I can't believe that's coming out of my mouth, but it is. I think she's going to turn it down. She's a good Democrat. So does that mean you get another crack at it later because this is an emergency request? Like, can you come, if she turns it down, can you come back and you guys can bring this before the Supreme Court? It's not dead.
Honestly, I don't think we would have an opportunity before the election.
Oh, not before the election, but after you might be able to.
Yes.
It's not dead.
Yeah, of course. We're going to fight this thing as far as it'll go. The question is, can we get it before the election in 2.5 months? That's the issue.
You know, what's interesting, Alan Wilson, if you watch where the Trump campaign is spending a lot of its money, Arizona isn't one of the states. And I wonder if it's because of this, because if you're looking at a tsunami of 30,000, the Democrats, you and I both know, wouldn't be fighting that hard for these non-citizens and illegal immigrants to be able to vote in Arizona if they didn't think it would swing the state to Kamala Harris. I mean, we may be sitting here a week after the election talking about how illegal immigrant voting gave Kamala Harris the win and it came through Arizona. Do not be surprised if that happens. Alan Wilson, I just want to thank you for joining that suit and for standing, in the breach with the other 23 attorney generals on behalf of South Carolina. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, folks, jaw dropping, isn't it? It's where we are. This is what happens when Republicans, and by that I mean the RNC, wait till the last minute to fight. Folks, I can't tell you how important that interview was that I just did. For those just tuning in, I think I'm going to rerun it on the Battleground America podcast. As the Democrats tell us, don't worry, illegals won't vote. They're in the process of mandating that illegals get to vote in the critical swing state of Arizona. If you watch what Trump is doing, and Trump's strategy really scares me. Doesn't mean it's not the right one, but it scares me. He should be able to win Arizona. In fact, last time when we lost Arizona, a big part of the reason was because, remember those big Republican counties? They accidentally bought ballots that were too short for the machines, resulting in 4 to 7 hour lines. People just walked off. They gave up because they jammed the machines, because of course they did. They were a couple of inches off size. The Democrat areas got the normal ballots, but it didn't matter because most of the Democrats had already voted early, okay? At that time, the illegal immigrant list, so they have a separate voter roll for illegal immigrants and non-citizens who cannot legally vote, at the time was about 10,000, okay? It was about 11,000. Trump lost the state by 10,000. That list, the Secretary of State tells us in Arizona, is mostly young people. You know who it is? It's dreamers. It's illegal immigrants. And most illegal immigrants are young. I mean, they are. You look at who comes over the border. They're young. They're registered to vote. Ready to go? Ready to go. So if you look at where Trump's spending his money, he's obviously concentrating on winning. He's put a massive amount of money in Pennsylvania, which scares the heck out of me because there's more Democrat registered voters there than Republicans. Now, they've gotten the numbers way down. I think the Dems have like a 300,000 lead now, 365, something like that, which is way down from almost 1 million a few years ago. So they're hoping, well, we can get it with that. I think Trump's having to dump all the money in Pennsylvania because he knows they're going to steal Arizona with the illegal immigrant voting. You watch. Because that roll, that list, has now grown to 30,000 illegal immigrants and non-citizens registered to vote. And again, this is confusing a lot of people. And I'm struggling to explain it to you because it's so hard to fathom. Because you're probably confused. I mean, a lot of people are confused. But wait a minute, it's illegal to vote. Yeah, it is. No, it's literally specifically against federal law for illegal immigrants to vote. It's a felony. It is also a crime for them to register. And yet, by the way, it's also a crime for non-citizens who may legally be here to register. They're also on the roll too. It's also a crime for them to register and vote in federal elections. And yet the Ninth Circuit has ruled Arizona has to let them vote. Why? Well, they might have just lost their documentation. I mean, it's so sad. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt. So the GOP has got an emergency lawsuit. They're begging the Supreme Court, because it's emergency, to enforce Arizona law. What does Arizona law say? That you've got to prove you're a citizen to register to vote and to cast your vote. If they do that, we will win Arizona. And that is law right now in Arizona. Folks, they're making this up as they go along, the Democrats are. So the Ninth Circuit liberal justices have said, no, you can't have a law like that. That's outrageous. Folks, that's outrageous. One of the few things that it says about voting in the Constitution, the states, not the federal government, very specifically says the states have the right to set the parameters for voting. In other words, they can set up the elections, run them however they want. The founders did not want douchebag Democrats at the federal level setting the parameters and rules for how we vote. But the Ninth Circuit's pretending that the federal government is supreme over the states. It's one of the few things actually given to the states in the Constitution as it was created. And they're pretending they don't know that. And what they're saying is, well, because the National Voting Rights Act, which is a federal law, doesn't say anything about proved citizenship. Yeah, they don't have to. It's a bogus argument. But let me bottom line this for you. What you're watching is illegal immigrants about to get the right to vote in America. They are this close to getting the right to vote in America. Without the amnesty, shamnesty, without the green card, he just got here, you know, washed the desert, sand off my boots, and I'm going to the voter poll. I'm going to the polls. I'm going to vote. Register me now. I can't prove I'm a citizen. Oh, well. I'm telling you, one of the big stories of this election afterward is going to be how the Democrats used illegal immigrants to steal Arizona. And right now, there's two separate rules. But how dual justice is that? Two separate rules in Arizona. They were created because of these court decisions. One for regular Arizonans who have no problem proving they're citizens, and the other for the illegals. We're arguing over the 30,000 illegals. And folks, I mean, you do the numbers. There were 11,000 of them in the last election, 2020. Joe Biden wins the state by 10,000. You bet that list put him over. Now there's over 30,000 of them. And again, we've applied to the Supreme Court for emergency hearing on this. They want to uphold the Arizona law. But unfortunately, it'll be Liberal Justice Elena Kagan who decides if we get the hearing. And I know Attorney General Alan Wilson didn't want to say it because he wants to be, you know, optimistic and bullish. But she's not going to let him have the hearing. She's not. And that's why Trump is spending all his money on a Pennsylvania, North Carolina strategy, North Carolina and Georgia. That's really scary. It's really scary because the voter registration for us is better in Arizona. But not if the illegals get to vote. What a mess. But you know what? This is what happens when you leave Fat Rona in charge of the RNC for years and years and years and years. And the more elections she loses, the more she gets to stay. We're doing all of this stuff helter-skelter last minute. And in the process, we may have illegal immigrants delivering their first state for the Democrats in a totally illegal way. Unbelievable. Folks, this just starting to get attention on our side. It's a huge deal. The FBI, the Secret Service director, who then resigned, and the acting Secret Service director all lied to Congress at timeline for the Butler rally shooting. In it, the fictional story they told, in it, the hero of that story is the Secret Service agent who shot Thomas Crookson, stopped the assassination of Donald Trump and anybody else. Oh, it was heroic. It was great. It was awesome. Why haven't we seen that guy? Think he'd be out, you know, doing interviews, probably have a book deal by now. That's normally how it go, but we haven't seen that guy. Weird, right? He doesn't want any publicity, huh? Really weird. A lot of weird things about the Trump assassination. Well, now we're finding out why we haven't seen that guy. And, well, we still don't know where he shot from. That's a state secret, too. In fact, almost everything we know, which contradicts increasingly the FBI's lies about the timeline of Butler and the Secret Service's lies, almost everything we know is coming from whistleblowers who are going to three members of Congress. But this latest thing is a huge, huge deal. And our side finally clued into it yesterday. I've been trying to raise awareness of this. They left a key detail out of the timeline. It was kind of pretty big. Secret Service didn't stop him. No, they shot him after someone else stopped him. Well, who stopped him? Butler County sniper. Local police. Local police did everything here. Secret Service only stepped in at the end to eliminate the evidence. Sure looked like that to me. I don't know. As it turns out, thanks to Representative Clay Higgins' own personal investigation. By the way, officially the FBI is investigating the shooting, as is the Secret Service. But they kind of left out the very important detail that the Secret Service did not stop Thomas Crooks. No, that was a local police sniper. He fired, it's actually an amazing story. By the way, where's that guy? He stepped into the line of fire of Crooks, took the shot, and managed to hit his gun, disabling it so he couldn't shoot further. Absolute total hero. That guy ought to have a book deal. I should have seen his interview on Fox. His name is, I don't know. We only know about him because of whistleblowers. Why is a whistleblower have to come? Think about this for a minute. What do whistleblowers normally do? They use federal whistleblower protections that allow them to come forward to Congress when what? There is corruption. There is lying. Why are these people coming forward as whistleblowers to tell members of Congress who the real shooter was? In other words, the person who took out Thomas Crooks. Why is that a secret? There's no open investigation. No court case. FBI, DOJ, Secret Service, not one of them has claimed they have power over this information because, hey, ongoing criminal investigation. Criminal's dead. So why do they have to come forward using a statute meant to protect people who want to report on corrupt agencies to Congress to say, hey, they're lying. Their timeline's a lie. The Secret Service did not stop this sniper. No, they killed him afterward. A local sniper stopped this sniper or stopped this assassin, stopped Crooks. Here's what hotair.com writes. The shot taken by the local sniper, the police guy, the shot damaged the buffer tube on Crooks' AR, said Congressional Representative Higgins, citing eyewitness testimony. Hot Air writes, that's really odd that the supposed experts in doing personal protection for the highest value targets in the world, the Secret Service, once again, we're two steps behind local law enforcement. Gosh, it's almost as if local law enforcement interfered in the assassination they were watching while taking no action. Weird, as the Democrats would say. In any normal world, this would be implausible. Even stranger, the FBI and the Secret Service directors left this critical detail out of their timelines when testifying under oath before Congress. So you might say they lied. They lied when they said that the Secret Service sniper took him out. He did not. Secret Service sniper killed him later, but he didn't stop the shooting. That was a sniper with the local Butler PD. So this sniper stepped into the line of fire. We don't know where. We don't know that. And fired at Crooks. Could have been killed himself, probably saved lives, including Donald Trump's life. Because Crooks didn't get to get another shot off. Because remember, as they're moving him away, the Secret Service, they've got all these little short women, so Trump's really exposed. If that gun had not been disabled by the police sniper, then he could have easily taken Trump out. So I want to know, why did the FBI leave that out? That is critical information. Why did the Secret Service leave that out? You know, beyond the shame of the fact that local police had to do their job because they were unwilling, unable, or uninterested. Hard to say. This must have all, by the way, all of this diligence. Think about this. Local police saved Donald Trump's life. That must have been pretty inconvenient to the people who want Trump executed. I mean, can't say for sure who those people are. Sure would love to know, though. And if the number involved in that incident goes beyond crooks. But we know this. If that cop hadn't shot Crook's gun, risking his life to do it, the president might have been killed and many other bystanders. You would think an enterprising reporter or two would be digging around into all these oddities and coincidences, but there doesn't seem to be anybody like that at the national level. You know where you should start if you're a national level reporter? Start here. Go to John Solomon's website. It's called Just the News. There you will see the documents for the visa, the special visa that the FBI approved. Who is the visa for? The wannabe assassin Iran sent to kill Trump. He was having trouble getting into the country, so the FBI helpfully approved his visa. Yes, you heard that right. Under a rarely used, get this, national security category. They interviewed him when he got here. He flew in, and then they let him go wherever he wanted. Do you know when he tried to fly out of the country? Day before the Trump rally. Do I have your attention now? Oh, it gets weirder. What's really weird about this assassin is the other lie the FBI told, you know, back in April, where they pretended they were looking for him, even put a wanted poster out with his name on it, saying he might be headed this way to kill Trump. And the whole time, they approved the visa for him to get here, so he couldn't have been that wanted. Where are the congressional hearings on this? This is nuts. This is plumb crazy. And it's kind of scary, too. Well, the Democrats are pretending, because they pretend a lot of things. The Democrats are pretending that they have not been in power. Not at all. Not been in power for the last 3 years. That they weren't in total power, controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency when we hit 9% inflation, which, by the way, is still baked into the prices. The prices haven't gone down. Just the rate at which they're going up has gone down. You're still paying that. The Democrats are also pretending that they didn't oversee a $1,069 per month increase in household expenses for the average family of four that goes entirely to pay for inflation. $1,069 a month. Here's Bernie Sanders doing an Emmy-worthy performance, pretending to be outraged that somebody who knows who's been in charge has caused Americans to be poor.
Many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need.
Well, yeah, I mean, an extra $1,100 a month, that's a mortgage payment. I mean, yeah, you can't eat, Bernie. It's what I've been trying to say. But the Obamas did it too, pretending we need to defeat Trump because he's been in office the last 4 years. Are their voters this dumb? Never mind, forget I asked. Anyway, here's the rest of them pretending they haven't been in charge as Americans got bone-crushingly poorer.
We do not need 4 more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before.
I know.
And we all know that the sequel is usually worse. America's ready for a new chapter.
We love a familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. Hope is making a comeback.
The crowd chanting back, do something. And the Trump team responding, quote, are they aware that their party has been in charge of the country for the last 3.5 years? And speaking of former President Trump.
Do so. Folks, actually chanting, do something. They are, y'all. This is their policy that's made you poor. God, these people are dumb. They're just so dumb, these voters. Folks, this just starting to get attention on our side. It's a huge deal. The FBI, the Secret Service, director, who then resigned, and the acting Secret Service director all lied to Congress at timeline for the Butler rally shooting. In it, the fictional story they told, in it, the hero of that story is the Secret Service agent who shot Thomas Crookson, stopped the assassination of Donald Trump and anybody else. That was heroic. It was great. It was awesome. Why haven't we seen that guy? Think he'd be out, you know, doing interviews, probably have a book deal by now. That's normally how it go, but we haven't seen that guy. Weird, right? He doesn't want any publicity, huh? Really weird. A lot of weird things about the Trump assassination. Well, now we're finding out why we haven't seen that guy. And, well, we still don't know where he shot from. That's a state secret, too. In fact, almost everything we know, which contradicts increasingly the FBI's lies about the timeline in Butler and the Secret Service's lies, almost everything we know is coming from whistleblowers who are going to three members of Congress. But this latest thing is a huge, huge deal. And our side finally clued into it yesterday. I've been trying to raise awareness of this. They left a key detail out of the timeline. It was kind of pretty big. Secret Service didn't stop him. No, they shot him after someone else stopped him. Well, who stopped him? Butler County sniper. Local police. Local police did everything here. Secret Service only stepped in at the end to eliminate the evidence. Sure looked like that to me. I don't know. As it turns out, thanks to Representative Clay Higgins' own personal investigation. By the way, officially the FBI is investigating the shooting, as is the Secret Service. But they kind of left out the very important detail that the Secret Service did not stop Thomas Crooks. No, that was a local police sniper. He fired. It's actually an amazing story. By the way, where's that guy? He stepped into the line of fire of Crooks, took the shot, and managed to hit his gun, disabling it so he couldn't shoot further. Absolute total hero. That guy ought to have a book deal. I should have seen his interview on Fox. His name is, I don't know. We only know about him because of whistleblowers. Why is a whistleblower have to come? Think about this for a minute. What do whistleblowers normally do? They use federal whistleblower protections that allow them to come forward to Congress when what? There is corruption. There is lying. Why are these people coming forward as whistleblowers to tell members of Congress who the real shooter was? In other words, the person who took out Thomas Crooks. Why is that a secret? There's no open investigation. No court case. FBI, DOJ, Secret Service, not one of them has claimed they have power over this information because, hey, ongoing criminal investigation. Criminal's dead. So why do they have to come forward using a statute meant to protect people who want to report on corrupt agencies to Congress to say, hey, they're lying. Their timeline's a lie. The Secret Service did not stop this sniper. No, they killed him afterward. A local sniper stopped this sniper or stopped this assassin, stopped Crooks. Here's what hotair.com writes. The shot taken by the local sniper, the police guy, shot damaged the buffer tube on Crooks' AR, said Congressional Representative Higgins, citing eyewitness testimony. Hot Air writes, that's really odd that the supposed experts in doing personal protection for the highest value targets in the world, the Secret Service, once again, we're two steps behind local law enforcement. Gosh, it's almost as if local law enforcement interfered in the assassination they were watching while taking no action. Weird, as the Democrats would say, in any normal world, this would be implausible. Even stranger, the FBI and the Secret Service directors left this critical detail out of their timelines when testifying under oath before Congress. So you might say they lied. They lied when they said that the Secret Service sniper took him out. He did not. Secret Service sniper killed him later, but he didn't stop the shooting. That was a sniper with the local Butler PD. So this sniper stepped into the line of fire. We don't know where they, we don't know that. And fired at Crooks, could have been killed himself, probably saved lives, including Donald Trump's life. Because Crooks didn't get to get another shot off. Because remember, as they're moving him away, the Secret Service, they've got all these little short women, so Trump's really exposed. If that gun had not been disabled by the police sniper, then he could have easily taken Trump out. So I want to know, why did the FBI leave that out? That is critical information. Why did the Secret Service leave that out? You know, beyond the shame of the fact that local police had to do their job because they were unwilling, unable, or uninterested, hard to say. This must have all, by the way, all of this diligence. Think about this. Local police saved Donald Trump's life. That must have been pretty inconvenient to the people who want Trump executed. I mean, can't say for sure who those people are. Sure would love to know, though. And if the number involved in that incident goes beyond Crooks. But we know this, if that cop hadn't shot Crook's gun, risking his life to do it, the president might have been killed and many other bystanders. You would think an enterprising reporter or two would be digging around into all these oddities and coincidences, but there doesn't seem to be anybody like that at the national level. You know where you should start if you're a national level reporter? Start here. Go to John Solomon's website. It's called Just the News. There you will see the documents for the visa, the special visa that the FBI approved. Who was the visa for? The wannabe assassin Iran sent to kill Trump. He was having trouble getting into the country, so the FBI helpfully approved his visa. Yes, you heard that right. Under a rarely used, get this, national security category. They interviewed him when he got here. He flew in, and then they let him go wherever he wanted. Do you know when he tried to fly out of the country? Day before the Trump rally. Do I have your attention now? Oh, it gets weirder. What's really weird about this assassin is the other lie the FBI told, you know, back in April, where they pretended they were looking for him, even put a wanted poster out with his name on it, saying he might be headed this way to kill Trump. And the whole time, they approved the visa for him to get here, so he couldn't have been that wanted. Where are the congressional hearings on this? This is nuts. This is plumb crazy. And it's kind of scary, too. Well, the Democrats are pretending, because they pretend a lot of things. The Democrats are pretending that they have not been in power. Not at all. Not been in power for the last 3 years. That they weren't in total power, controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency when we hit 9% inflation, which, by the way, is still baked into the prices. The prices haven't gone down. Just the rate at which they're going up has gone down. You're still paying that. The Democrats are also pretending that they didn't oversee a $1,069 per month increase in household expenses for the average family of four that goes entirely to pay for inflation. $1,069 a month. Here's Bernie Sanders doing an Emmy-worthy performance, pretending to be outraged that somebody who knows who's been in charge has caused Americans to be poor.
Many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need.
Well, yeah, I mean, an extra $1,100 a month, that's a mortgage payment. I mean, yeah, you can't eat, Bernie. It's what I've been trying to say. But the Obamas did it too, pretending we need to defeat Trump because he's been in office the last 4 years. Are their voters this dumb? Never mind, forget I asked. Anyway, here's the rest of them pretending they haven't been in charge as Americans got bone-crushingly poorer.
We do not need four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before.
I know.
And we all know that the sequel is usually worse. America's ready for a new chapter.
We love a familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. Hope is making a comeback.
The crowd chanting back, do something. And the Trump team responding, quote, are they aware that their party has been in charge of the country for the last 3.5 years? And speaking of former President Trump.
Do so. Folks, actually chanting, do something. They are, y'all. This is their policy that's made you poor. God, these people are dumb. They're just so dumb, these voters. Well, the Democrats are pretending, because they pretend a lot of things. The Democrats are pretending that they have not been in power. Not at all. Not been in power for the last 3 years. That they weren't in total power, controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency when we hit 9% inflation, which, by the way, is still baked into the prices. The prices haven't gone down. Just the rate at which they're going up has gone down. You're still paying that. The Democrats are also pretending that they didn't oversee a $1,069 per month increase in household expenses for the average family of four that goes entirely to pay for inflation. $1,069 a month. Here's Bernie Sanders doing an Emmy-worthy performance, pretending to be outraged that somebody who knows who's been in charge has caused Americans to be poor.
Many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need.
Well, yeah, I mean, an extra $1,100 a month, that's a mortgage payment. I mean, yeah, you can't eat, Bernie. It's what I've been trying to say. But the Obamas did it too, pretending we need to defeat Trump because he's been in office the last 4 years. Are their voters this dumb? Never mind, forget I asked. Anyway, here's the rest of them pretending they haven't been in charge as Americans got bone-crushingly poorer.
We do not need 4 more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before.
I know.
And we all know that the sequel is usually worse. America's ready for a new chapter.
We love a familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. Hope is making a comeback.
The crowd chanting back, do something. And the Trump team responding, quote, are they aware that their party has been in charge of the country for the last 3.5 years? And speaking of former President Trump.
Do so. Folks, actually chanting, do something. They are, y'all. This is their policy that's made you poor. God, these people are dumb. They're just so dumb, these voters.